listening to the CCA Podcast.
Excited to introduce to you Dr. Charlie Self this morning. He's a professor at Assembly of God Theological Seminary, which is where I'm going for my doctoral work, but I didn't meet him there. I didn't have the privilege of having a class with him. He actually came out here to Seattle last fall and was speaking for a group of pastors. I don't know if it was last fall or if it was last spring or whenever it was. It was a little while ago. Speaking for a group of pastors from different denominations all across the city and part of something called the Flourish Network. And when he came and shared, I just thought to myself, man, this guy, it hit me in my heart. It hit me where I lived. And I think part of it was, one of the messages that is a part of the Flourish Network and a part of Charlie's life is that oftentimes in the church, in our discipleship, we prepare people for the 5% of their life and not for the 95%. We prepare people for church and for what happens at church, but most of our ministry, most of our mission is not what happens at church, but what happens throughout the world, throughout our day, in all of our various workplaces, whether that be in our home or in the context of our schooling or in our work or, you know, where God has us, that's where our discipleship, our following of Christ really gets lived out. And it felt really balanced to me. You know, I think it's interesting, in the Old Testament you have this really important role of the prophets who would come and they would speak to God's people about the Torah, about the Word of God, about the Torah is the five books of the Old Testament, the first five, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and the prophets would help God's people to understand how they were not applying that word and how to apply it more more effectively, more consistently in their lives. I think a lot of times that's what someone like Charlie does. He's a great analyst. He's an analyst of the church. He's someone who comes alongside of the church and helps them to gain perspective and to narrow in on the focus and to say, okay, this is what God's Word is saying. Now, how are we going to live this out? And it's been a delight spending the last couple days with Charlie. Yesterday, actually, he and I had a marvelous time. How many of you know Dwayne Chin? Sandy Chin's, anyway. Okay, so Dwayne and Wyatt are great skeet shooters, and Dwayne's been wanting to get me up to go skeet shooting with him up in Linden. So Charlie and I rode up with them to Linden yesterday, and I was shooting clay pigeons out of the sky. And it was so fun. Anyway, so I think when I retire from being a pastor, I'm going to become a skeet shooter. No. But Charlie, so great to have you. Now, Charlie's going to be here tonight. He's going to deepen the message that he's sharing this morning, and it'll be also more of a open forum kind of a setting, so you'll be able to ask questions, and then we're going to pray together over the city of Seattle and over our church. So tonight's a really important time, and then tomorrow night he's meeting with the leadership, key leadership of the church, and focusing in. So, but tomorrow afternoon at noon, I just want to put it out there for anybody who would have interest. If you want to just have lunch with Charlie and pick his brain and talk together, we're going to go down to the Olympic Pizza right down the street. So we'll just gather here at noon at the church. So if you're available and you want to come and you just want to pick the brain of a professor for a while, Tomorrow at noon, you're welcome to come. So anyway, Charlie, great to have you.
Thank you. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Bless you, man.
Good morning. Thank you for letting me be part of this fellowship and worship. And thank you, Pastor Steve, for a gracious introduction. If you have a Bible, would you turn to Ephesians chapter 1? We'll be looking through the entire book in parts of it this morning as we jump into God's Word together. I am really delighted to be with you. And our theme for the weekend is whole life discipleship. That is discipleship that's 24/7. Would you agree the Lord's with us wherever we are? Our challenge is to be aware of that and to be aware of how He's working. And so this morning, I'd like to just allow the Holy Spirit to use these words and our time of response to them to just refresh us and renew us. Tonight, we're going to take some of the themes of this morning and go deeper in detail of what it looks like lived out. We'll also do a little look around the world at what's happening. Anybody aware that life just seems to happen at a faster pace? And by the way, before you get a little bit disturbed or despairing about what's happening, we still serve a Lord who is gathering from every tribe, nation, and tongue a family of faith, and He's at work in the world. So His work is accelerating even faster than the work of those contrary to it. But I have the honor of teaching at the Assemblies of God Seminary. I have the honor of being with the Made to Flourish network of pastors, and I just want you to know, we want to connect Sunday and Monday. We want the worship this morning to connect with the work tomorrow morning. And that's our heart's desire as we get into God's Word together. And as we begin, I would just really like us to pause a moment. One of my dear friends, they're a wonderful pastor, and he's the superintendent in Rocky Mountain District, Don and Loretta Steiger, wonderful people. And Loretta said one day, never lose the wonder of who God is and what He's done. And both here and in the sound of my voice right now, there may be some of you, you've been at church a long time, or maybe you've been a bit distant. I just think we need to recapture the wonder. And the Bible does this in two ways. And I'd like you in just a moment to read these scriptures with you. The wonder of creation, the fact that there is anything at all, is worthy of awe and wonder. And by the way, in case any of you may be concerned, God didn't create space and time and the heavens and the earth because He was lonely or had to find Himself or inadequate. The God we worship this morning. By the way, did you enjoy what our worship team brought to us this morning? Amen? Praise God. Go ahead and give the Lord praise for that. You have a wonderful team. And by the way, you're all members of the choir. Amen? We're all members of the choir. Folks, God didn't do all of this because of inadequacy, but out of love. And then we were the joy set before Jesus. Am I the only one that looks in the mirror sometimes and just isn't so sure about what he sees? Folks, we're worth the blood of Jesus Christ. If you need a boost today, you've hit the wall with rejection. You've hit the wall with a sense of failure, inadequacy. You were the joy, we together were the joy set before Jesus as he said, Father, not my will, your will be done. We're worth it. And so our Creator and our Redeemer is why we gather here together. So you can remain seated, but I just think the best part of any message is the reading of God's Word together. Would you read these scriptures with me? Join with me. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Father, we want to thank you and praise you that you are the Almighty Creator and you are also Abba Father. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you call us your sisters and brothers. Sovereign Spirit of God, your breath created the cosmos, and you live inside these jars of clay. We welcome the Holy Spirit in this moment to take the words of Scripture and words prepared by human beings and make them spirit and life, and may they overflow for the glory of God and the good of Seattle. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Amen. He's worthy of all of our praise. As we begin to drill down into what it means to be a follower of Jesus and live a life of discipleship, the book of Ephesians is really helpful. It's an amazing letter that Paul wrote to all the churches in Asia Minor. And by the way, the Asia Minor doesn't mean minor leagues, it's Turkey today. And it's where those great early churches were. The first half of the book, we're lost in wonder as we discover God's eternal plan in Jesus Christ. His plan to bring all things together. His plan to have a designer life for each of us. His plan that His glory would be seen through the church. And then, the second half of the book, Paul says, this is fantastic, but I want you to live worthy of that plan. Now, Americans are funny. We are funny people. And if you're not from America, I just want to introduce you. We're funny people. Our Constitution says we can have no titles of nobility, but we follow the English crown like a soap opera. We are just, and you know what's really fun right now? It looks like William and Kate are almost normal people. Unlike his father, but you know, it looks like they're almost normal people. They were born royal. How many of you know, sometimes people born royal need to learn to live like it? Folks, in Jesus Christ, the Prince has come, and we've been born again into a royalty, not a superiority, but a place of great privilege and access and delight, and now we spend the rest of our lives learning to live like it. You see, every other world religion, you go through all kinds of steps, and you hope you're going to make it. Now, I'm a teacher. How would you like to be a teacher and tell your class on the first day, all you have to do is show up and you pass the class? That's all you have to do. How many of you know that could be an interesting class? But in Jesus Christ, through the grace of the cross and resurrection, if we believe and receive and give our lives to Him, folks, we have a destiny beyond our imagination before we've ever done a single good work. Now we get to learn to live like it. Discipleship is learning to live like the royalty God declared us to be. And all this happens in and through the local church together. And so what I'd like to share with you then is that this glory comes through the church. That being a disciple of Jesus Christ means being in community and being together. Make sure my clicker is working here. Great. Thank you. The church that we're part of this morning is a revelation of the beauty and wisdom of God. We are the children of the Father. Can I just thank you for welcoming me this morning? And women and men like you welcome this teenager in 1973. This transcendental meditation practicing fiery humanist, people who are religious are stupid teenager, walked into a church like this, and you didn't care that I wasn't in this clique in high school, and you didn't care that I wasn't tall and good looking, and you didn't care about any of that. You welcomed me. I walked into a church like Calvary, and they were talking to a God they seemed to believe in, and they were singing songs, and they hugged me, and I had to go to the dry cleaner because of all the pancake on my coat. And young and old said, welcome. And a few months later, in February of 1974, at a second evening service, I walked forward and said yes to Jesus Christ. And can I just tell you, it's never been the same since then. And you have been an integral part of that. And just a couple of years later, my family imploded. A horrific divorce, and I was the mediator at age 17 between my parents, raising my little brother. And my dad, being the good Harvard and MIT guy that he is, sent me to a psychotherapist who said, you know, therapy is helpful, but just stay in your church. They love you. And by the way, we've used good counseling over the years, so that's a wonderful thing. But folks, you adopted me, you received me, you welcomed me. And all I want to do is say thank you back. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen? And then chapter 3, verse 10, it's God's will that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God would be on display. We serve Abba Father, who is the Almighty. The church is also a refuge. We're redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him, we have the forgiveness of sins. We're redeemed. By the way, that word redeemed, it gets used a lot. It means we've been our liberation's been purchased with a price. By the way, if you're newer to Christianity, if you're newer to this faith, or if you've never heard these words, this word means that we, through Christ, have favor with God, not because of what we've done, but because He's done it for us. I'm just really glad there's no rap sheet in heaven toward me. That my account, not only is my account clear, but I have favor with God. And then the church is a resource. We have been given the power of the Holy Spirit not only to worship like this morning, not only to enjoy this beautiful fellowship. Do you believe the power of the Spirit includes helping Seattle to flourish? Helping our neighborhoods and our nations to really flourish. See, the Holy Spirit isn't given just to feel good in our own experiences. The Holy Spirit's given that we might bring the goodness of Jesus Christ in all that we do. Praise be to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit this morning. Amen? That's the church we're part of. That's what we're learning about together as we go forward. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. I guess the clicker is having fun this morning. By the way, do I have your permission to be an honorary member this morning of CCA? Is that okay? Can I be an honorary member? I don't like saying you and me. We're part of the church, aren't we? Here at CCA, God has anointed us to be a hub of hope. By the way, a hub is the kind of thing that both draws in and sends out. It gathers and it releases. And according to the DNA that have been put in this church, I want to start connecting some things here between the message of Ephesians and the mission of this church and discipleship for tomorrow morning. We'll landscape this deeper tonight, but I want to make these connections because it's so important that these phrases we hear have application on Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday morning. We are here. To both find and follow Christ, and to help others find and follow Christ, and in so doing, discover the love, holiness, and unity that is the very life of God. That's why we're here. We're here to be a demonstration and a hospitality for people who can find Him. We're here to be people of transparency and trust with one another. One day, early as a Christian, I wasn't able to pay my missions pledge one Sunday. I had made a commitment to missions. Anybody know giving to missions is cool, isn't it? One time I love to talk about money is when we get to give it away. Well, I made a pledge to missions and I couldn't make it that night. And then I was reading in the book of Acts about Ananias and Sapphira getting zapped for lying about not giving their money to the Lord. 1:30 in the morning, I snuck out of my house, went 3 blocks away to Ed and Mary's house. I was just crying. I knew God was going to zap me for not giving my money to the church. Well, after they picked themselves up off the floor laughing, they graciously came to this concerned teenager and said, you know what, God's going to make a way for you to meet your missions pledge, but you don't need to worry about Him zapping you. You haven't lied to the Lord. And by the way, the next day I got a new job and I could double my missions pledge. But folks, you were there for me. There was transparency, there was trust. The former Attorney General, Ashcroft, his father was one of my mentors. He was 70, I was 20. We played doubles tennis. He made me run the net and he sat back at the baseline. But he brought me as a 20-year-old man into his office and asked my advice on things. How many of you know when you're 20, you know it all? And of course, I was the recipient of so much. Folks, this is a place of transparency and trust. It's a refuge. It's also a place where we reach out and welcome people by the power of the Holy Spirit. Your neighbor who's not yet a Christian, God has a designer life for that neighbor to be a living stone, to be built into this beautiful temple that God's building. God has a designer life, and we want people to discover that designer life in the name of Jesus. CCA, we are a hub of hope, bringing together the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit life of God with one another and to those who don't yet know Him. What does a faithful church do, though? How does this work? Our job is to make disciples. Anybody heard of the Great Commission? Is that a phrase you know about here? There's only one verb in Matthew 28, and that verb is not go, that verb is not teach, that verb is not baptize. Those are all the things we do, but the one verb, the one imperative of Matthew 28 is make disciples. I want that to sink in a moment. We're to go and make disciples. And Jesus, we're to baptize, we're to teach, we're to preach, we're to serve, we're to love. But the end result is making disciples. And the question for today and tomorrow as we're together is, what does a healthy disciple look like? Before I go there, let's go back one. Folks, I want you just to pause with me. What does a healthy disciple look like here at CCA and beyond? And should Jesus give me life and breath beyond today, I want to spend the rest of my life answering that question and being a part of God's plan. How many of you know He wants everyone to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth? He wants the most obscure person we've never heard of in the farthest reaches of the world and the neighbor next door to us to come to Jesus Christ and begin to walk as a disciple. He wants us to make disciples. So let me share with you five areas of a healthy disciple. And we're going to unpack these tonight in detail, but I want you to begin to receive them, begin to pray them in. We want to be people learning the wonder and the ways of God. Would you agree a healthy disciple is spiritually mature? Can you say amen? We're praying. We're in the Word. We're growing. That's important. But a healthy disciple is also being healed from hurts and liberated for life. A healthy disciple is overcoming the hurts and the hang-ups and the habits of the old life. Remember that fact that we're born into royalty. One day we had a piece of property with a septic system, and we had to repair the pipe. And a guy named Ray was repairing the pipe, and he came out from underground after repairing the pipe, and he looked like the Swamp Thing. And it was about $1,000 check that I was writing. I was tempted to put another zero down, because you couldn't pay me $10,000 to look like the Swamp Thing. Well, folks, there's so much of the swamp still inside of us at times, but God has cleansed us, called us royalty. Now we've got to learn to live like it. And God wants us to be people of personal wholeness. It is impossible to be spiritually mature and emotionally immature. It is impossible to say I'm growing in Christ and not getting along with people. By the way, look around. These are your relatives. You're stuck. Peter Scazzaro, years ago, great church planter in New York, one day his wife stood up on the bed and said, "You can be pastor if you want, but I'm done." She was emotionally exhausted. And he realized then, he's been on a journey ever since and published some wonderful resources. He said, "There is no biblical difference between spiritual and emotional health. They are linked together. If we're growing in Jesus Christ, we're growing in mental, emotional, and relational health." By the way, if we are growing, we are welcoming the Lord into all of our relationships, into our friendships, our marriages, our business relationships, healthy relationships. I used to avoid reading 1 John sometimes. It said, if you say you love God and hate your brother, you got a problem. And when I was mad at somebody, I wouldn't read 1 John. Folks, can we be friends today? We're going to get upset. We're not always going to be happy. People are going to be hard to get along with sometimes. Do you know that I am not everybody's cup of tea? I don't know why. I mean, I'm practically perfect in every way, like Mary Poppins. I just don't know why. Here's my point. The Bible isn't talking about how we feel at a given moment. I don't know about you. My feelings can vary hour by hour. What choices are we making for the people closest to us? What choices are we making? So healthy relationships mean that we're looking to love regardless of whether we're loved back well. We're not being victims or codependents, but we're looking to wisely care and welcome people. The miracle of the body of Christ is not how much alike we are. The miracle of the body of Christ is how different we are and how much we're beginning to look like Jesus Christ. What else is a healthy CCA disciple? Well, you're thriving inside and outside the church. You know what your calling is, and you're doing your work well. This is really important. Today, we are declaring the end to secular and sacred work. Folks, everything we do belongs to Him. According to Romans chapter 12, we've offered our bodies as a living sacrifice. That means your schoolwork, your housework, your office work, your field work, your labor, your volunteer work, your secret work of prayer, all that you do all day belongs to Him as an offering of praise. Would you say amen? This is so important. My students at the seminary, I get to teach pastors and missionaries. It's so much fun. They're not allowed to use the word full-time ministry in my presence. We were full-time when we came to Jesus. Hello? Think about this. By the way, it's really okay to be a pastor and be paid for it. Thank you. But what I want you to hear is that every one of us are ambassadors. Every one of us are anointed. Every one of us are filled with the Spirit. Every one of us are given a mandate. And I want to give you a little phrase I'd like you to remember. That today's discipline is tomorrow's destiny. That doing today well is what God expects, even as we dream for tomorrow. Now, there are lots of younger people who are all waiting for their destiny. I finished college with $100,000 of debt. The world owes me. Get to work. Get to work. Well, there are no jobs in my field. Get to work. In 1984, brand new baby, new seminary classes, on a church staff. Pastor comes at Mount Hermon Retreat Center and says, "We have a financial crisis. You're laid off." New baby, rent in Silicon Valley, going to seminary in Berkeley, and I'm laid off. Well, I had a lament for 24 hours, and I went and got a job. And I kept serving as a pastor, and I kept teaching, and I kept in seminary. And it was hard and challenging, and it was wonderful. I had a boss who was a Muslim. I had another boss who had used to be in church and was hostile to church. And within a few weeks, my cubicle was called the confessional, and people were coming to Christ. I had more impact on non-Christians working at a Silicon Valley job than I did sitting in a church office. And all my clergy friends, "Brother Self, we're praying you back into the ministry." Well, the district still took my dues. My reverend title wasn't taken away. Now, by the way, should we honor those that God has appointed as our leaders? Amen. We should, yes. And we should honor those who God has set apart to serve in certain areas of ministry. But folks, every one of us in Jesus Christ has a priestly ministry of worship and witness to the world, and no one else can reach the world the way you can in your worship and in your work every day. This church will grow as much as she helps Seattle flourish. If we will think more of the flourishing of our community and our city then the flourishing of our own institution, the institution will flourish and continue to be a light, because you already are, and God has even brighter days ahead as you think in terms of how to help the city flourish. We're going to unpack that a little bit tonight. You see, a faithful church means a flourishing community. It means that the economic, social, moral, relational, artistic, aesthetic, cultural, intellectual, every part of life flourishes more when God's people are doing His work in the world. You see, our aim isn't only to have you volunteer for church, and by the way, you need to. If they ask for volunteers, sign up. But folks, what we do all day is the first place of mission God has us. Your work has value. By the way, is your work sometimes boring and hard and difficult, and can bosses be unreasonable? Can anybody say amen? By the way, we're still in a fallen world. And my students' term papers are really interesting sometimes. But if I love my students, I grade their papers well. If you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, the primary way we love our neighbor all day is the work we do. Whether you're checking groceries at Walmart, a CEO of a company, whether you're my mechanic, Scotty, keeping my brakes repaired so I'm safe on the road, the work we do is how we love our neighbor. Well, as we get ready for the table of the Lord this morning, let me bring some of this into focus. You see, as a church on mission, if we're making disciples, evangelism and discipleship become part of the same mission. Somebody says, what does it mean to be a Christian? You say, well, what it means is to really know Jesus Christ personally, to become a person of spiritual depth. And it means that you're becoming emotionally healthy, and you're getting along with people, and you have a sense of purpose, and you're doing your work well. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We're going to bring trust and transparency in a world that is suspicious, vulnerable. A world of Facebook intimacy and people who don't know the neighbor next door. I love my 4,000 friends on Facebook. But we do actually know our neighbors too. We want to be people that unite cultures. Aren't you glad for the table of the Lord this morning? Do you know it took St. Paul his entire adult life to get Jews and Gentiles to sip out of the same cup and eat from the same loaf of bread? What a miracle this table is. Folks, by the way, this morning, it's an open table. If you love Jesus Christ, this table's for you. We'd love you to be a formal member here, but if you're not, this table's open if you love Jesus Christ. We want to immerse ourselves in the life of the community, not adding more activities to a church calendar, but adding more kingdom understanding to your calendar. Do you know the work you do as a volunteer in the community counts for the kingdom of God? Do you know that providing a job, how many of you actually employ people? You have some supervision over somebody at work. Anybody? Just raise your hands. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Did you know that providing a job is a tremendous good for the world? Now, your employees probably wish you provided more, but the fact is, your provision of a job is a good thing. We want to immerse ourselves in the life of the community together. I'd like to end this morning with some words that I feel God's given me for this body, and that we're going to get to landscape together this weekend and continue to pray for one another. Pastor, friends, God wants this church to commission all members in their spheres of influence. If you're called to athletics, if you're called to business, if you're called to the arts, if you're called whatever realm you may be, and some of you have many areas where you're working, you need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to become a leader in that area of life, a person of influence. And by the way, we're also called to convene and discover what God's doing in and through the members of the body. My wife is a professional artist. The visuals you've seen are her original works. And I just got to laugh with you. Some of you have been in church a long time. I lost a few jobs when I was interviewing to be a pastor. And they said, Sister Self, we're so looking forward to you playing the piano, running women's ministry, and teaching children. And she said, I'm glad you are, because I don't do that. I do choreography and painting. I lost that job. Thank God. My wife is an artist. She's a missionary and uses fine art to reach people. I became Dr. Self. I didn't know I was going to teach at the seminary when I became Dr. Self. I became Dr. Self because I'm on secular radio in San Francisco. And a 250,000 people get to hear me for 8 minutes at a time as I talk about current events. My host is a Christian. He brings me in. Tell us about the history of Christmas and Easter, Dr. Self. Tell us about the history of Islam and Christianity. How many of you know that's a pretty neat opportunity to talk to 250,000 people? You have the same ones at work, at school, in what you do. God wants us to connect worship and work, discipleship and evangelism. It counts what you do outside these walls. It counts when you create wealth. It counts when you add value. It counts when you're praying when no one sees you praying. Some of you are officially retired. Can I just tell you, you've been reassigned by the Lord. Thank God that you can do other things now. And in addition to a little vacation and the honey-do list, God wants you to wake up with new work every day. And if your body is struggling, that work includes interceding for us. Maybe you can't do a lot physically. You can do everything through Christ Jesus who strengthens you that he has in mind for you. The work you do that makes money for your family is God's work in the world. And he wants you to connect that. And then he wants us to celebrate progress and keep recalibrating. How are we doing in making healthy disciples? This is the will of God as we go forward together and do God's work in the world. Sorry about that. Let's go. Is there one more slide, or are we at the end? Thanks. Let's go ahead and keep that one up then. These words in season. Discipleship is no more and no less than the life of Jesus Christ touching all facets of our life. As I close and we prepare to pray and continue to worship God at the open table this morning, I was meeting with a venture capitalist. It's a fancy word for somebody who gives a lot of money to companies that are starting. And he was a wonderful Sunday school teacher in my church in Silicon Valley. And he said, Pastor Charlie, when you preach to us, we need it. Thank you. 1,000 people are touched. And then he said this, when I make a decision, 1,000 people either have a job or don't have a job. Who's doing God's work in the world? He said it with tears in his eyes, and we prayed for one another. I had a church member in one church in Oregon become part of the school board. How many of you know our school boards could use Christian influence? We had the religious people get upset because the school board meeting was on Wednesday night. So we keep complaining about the world. We have a chance to influence the world. Somebody gets elected to the school board and has real favor, and then we're mad because they didn't show up to a church meeting. Folks, what we do every day can be transformed as we get God's perspective that our worship and our work are together, that doing today well builds our destiny, and that a CCA disciple, a disciple of Jesus Christ, is someone growing in spiritual, emotional, and relational health, someone with a sense of purpose doing their work well. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer as we prepare for God's table? Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. We thank you for the wonder of creation and the wonder of redemption. We thank you for your plan, Lord, to bring everything together in Jesus Christ and your principles that allow us to live the life of Jesus Christ every day. God, we thank you for Calvary. We thank you for this body of believers, a hub of hope in the middle of a city in desperate need of you. And so in Jesus' name, Lord, together we humble ourselves and we ask today that you would awaken in us an awareness of how you are at work, through our volunteering, through our family life, that you would reach into the secret places of prayer and the open places of influence, Lord, and help us be your hand and heart extended to a world. We thank you for this. We ask now as we come to your table, Lord, that you would put on our hearts right now the people who need to meet you and join us at this table. As we prepare and as Pastor comes, would you begin to name the names of family, friends, and colleagues who are near to you in your sphere of influence, who need to meet Jesus and need to be at this table. As we prepare to partake, would you name their names and begin to have hope and faith that God is involved in bringing them to Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for this now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Steve.
Thank you, Charlie. I love the encouragement. I love the positive, hopeful understanding of what God does through his people and the influence that is there. When I think about just you as individuals sitting here right now, and you in your workplaces, you in your families, you in your places where you're being educated, the opportunity to touch and influence this world. But it comes out of that emotional, spiritual, physical health, that wholeness of our own lives. And where does that wholeness come from? Well, it's a gift from the Lord himself. We cooperate with him, but it all starts with his gracious acceptance of us. It all starts with his forgiveness. And we need to keep coming, because brokenness grabs us, you know, catches us from behind. There's what's called the besetting sin, sin that just kind of, it wants to entangle us. And so we need to continually come before him and say, oh, Lord, make me whole, make me healthy, so that the influence that you want me to bring in the context of this setting you've put me in, that it's that wholeness is there, and it comes from him. And so we come to the Lord's table. And whosoever will may come.